that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. All of you art enthusiasts in Chico and outlying areas can enjoy lots of artwork tomorrow and Sunday by taking the Open Studios Art Tour. You can also preview the tour by going to the Chico Art Center tonight. For the tour, 70 artists are opening their workspaces. Today we'll hear from several of those artists who are opening their studios to let you see where art magic happens. We're talking about the Open Studios Art Tour for 2018. We'll also be taking you to Chico's Blue Room Theater to talk with directors and cast members from the stage adaptation of Lord of the Flies. A group of young people get stranded on a jungle island and descend into savagery. But in this version of the tale, all those teenagers are girls. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned.
Dolores Mitchell. It's Chico Arts Center's Open Studio Time, that marvelous tour of 70 artist studios centered in Chico but includes outlying areas. We're going to get some history of Open Studios from a participant this year and many other years, Chris Gunter.
I'm really excited to be participating in the Open Studio Tour this year. Over these almost three decades, I have watched how artists in Butte County have stepped up and provided a huge range of art and creative endeavors.
What will you be showing this year?
Several paintings and prints. I'm doing a watercolor demonstration with underpainting, with ink washes and watercolors on top.
I'm now speaking with watercolorist Marvi Mueller.
Last year, we had the good fortune to have visitors in town. Instead of being a participant, I was a tour guide. We did both days of the Open Studios tour, and it was like having a treasure map. It was so exciting, not only for my friends who had never been to the Artist Studios tour, but for me to see how other studios were set up, how people work, what kind of inspiration they used. It just seemed to be a fairyland all day. It was a wonderful experience.
That experience starts this very afternoon at 5 o'clock. You can go down to the Chico Art Center in the Amtrak train station and see a preview from each of the studios. The tour itself is going to be two weekends, the 20th, 21st, the 27th, and the 28th. I'm now speaking with a couple, Catherine and Justin Silvera. Catherine, people will be introduced to a rather unusual medium in your art.
I'm a resin artist, so there'll be resin paintings full of minerals, rocks, gems, and sparkly, wonderful things, a feast for the eyes.
There's such a wonderful sense of suspended colors. They do look like gems suspended in wax.
A wonderful description. That's exactly what it looks like because the pigments are suspended within the resin itself. I start out with a painting underneath to give it life. From there, I mix the resin, which is a two-part epoxy. Inside the resin, add powdered pigment and sometimes liquid pigment. Inside of that, I will add the gems like pyrite, kyanite, amethyst, all those wonderful, beautiful things. And then it hardens up over a 24-hour period. Some of the larger pieces have up to 25 layers, and the small pieces have 6.
They're beautifully lit, in part by the artistry of your husband, Justin.
I like to create lights. Lighting has always been a fascination of mine. We go into a building, and if I see something lit up, I'm more fascinated at times with the light than with what it's supposed to be shining on. I try to do more of an industrial raw metal with the lighting, so it's piping and shades, then try to introduce an antique bulb to it. The big thing that I'm really a fan of is the articulating lamps that I make, so you can focus them on a direct art piece or an aspect in your home. It would brighten or shine on that area. Some of the desk lamps incorporate reclaimed wood, whether it be walnut, driftwood. I try to find unique, exotic pieces that are not necessarily easy to find. You see them and you're like, oh, that'd make a great lamp. So I'll try to incorporate the metal in with that wood piece for like a nice desk lamp to light up what you're writing.
Some of your pieces have a lovely maple syrup smell to them.
They might have a smell from the spouts that I use. I find the maple syrup spouts from the East Coast that are used for taps into the maple trees to create syrup. I'm able to repurpose those, and then I'll put them into one of my favorite species of wood, walnut, because of the deep grain that you can get and the dark, rich wood. I'll drive the taps back into that repurposed piece of wood. Then you could use that perhaps to hang keys or a jacket.
I'd like to know what it's like to share a studio.
Fantastic, because we can work separately but together at the same time, and you get kind of a feedback loop of creativity. I'll be working on a piece and I'll be like, what do you think about this?
We're kind of separate, working on a piece, just focused in on that piece. Every once in a while, I might walk by and check in just to say, hey, how you doing, babe? Or she might say, hey, can you take a look at this? What is this missing? What do you see right now? And she'll instantly come up with an idea or a thought, and it just, oh, that's perfect.
I'm turning now to Dylan Tellison, who often works at quite a large scale with figurative subjects. Dylan, what will people expect at your studio?
My studio is gorgeous. It's downtown, great natural light. The second floor above Collier's, the old Arroyo room. Nice big space and paints and weird stuff that they can snoop through. It used to be an exhibition space, so it has that history. My work right now is currently portraits, so they'll see a lot of portraits. Every artist has something that they are comfortable with. I, for instance, struggle with landscape painting, but I feel comfortable with portraits. I enjoy the challenge of it. People are so complicated. They're both awful and wonderful and wasteful, but ingenious. Trying to show that complexity is intriguing to me and hasn't stopped being intriguing.
I'm speaking now to another artist, Bobby Ray Jones. Bobby, tell us about this project you've been working on.
A project involving figures, animals, and flowers. The series of paintings that I'm currently working on is called Contemplations of the Divine Feminine. I have models working for me. The flowers are actually symbolic of the mandala, or sacred geometry that we find in nature. Another series of paintings I have is about animals, and that was really a personal journey to connect with nature. I find myself in downtown Chico a lot, and I was just missing forests.
Tell us about your dialogue with women of the community.
The last few years, I've really started to understand how important the women's circle is. The series of paintings called Nurturing Strength, Stories of Women, is about women from my community. I find that I do better when I'm socially engaged. I'm not really a studio artist that spends a lot of time alone in their studio. I like people coming to my studio, and I like to solve the problems of the world with women. In these paintings, solving the problems of the world, I've really been confronted with some of the polarization that surrounds me right now. And my answer to that was to really contemplate what we all have in common, regardless of where we come from or who we are. So some of the themes talk about loss. We all experience loss. Some of them talk about joy, the joy of childbirth, children coming into life. Another one talks about the changes of roles we go through as we grow. The paintings developed over a 6-month period through interviews and taking imagery from interviews with the women and putting that imagery into paintings to create their stories.
Well, that's going to be a very meaningful experience for people to visit your studio. We started with Marvi Mueller, and we're going to end with her because you've said nothing at all about your own open studios this year.
I will have a number of watercolors that I have done over the last year. And those are my larger format, which will be on view for the open studios. But I'm also a sketch and journal artist. How wonderful it is to journal and be in touch with the creative self wherever you are. My 25 years of sketch journals will be open for people to see.
It's open studio time. 2 wonderful weekends. Not every artist is going to do 2 weekends. Find out what the weekends are for each artist. The programs can be picked up at the Chico Arts Center at the train station. Remember that the reception starts in 2 hours at 5 p.m., The Open Studio runs 2 weekends, Saturday and Sunday, October 20th, 21st, 27th, and 28th. See you there.
Just a moment here on Weekend Showcase, we'll take you to the Blue Room Theater in Chico, where they're in the final weekend of the first play of their season. It's a play in which a group of teenage girls descend into savagery.
I'm here at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. Their current production, which only has 3 more performances, is Lord of the Flies. But this production of this story has a twist. Instead of boys, this is a collection of young women who are isolated on this island. We have here one of the 2 directors, Martin Chavira. What's it been like working with this group of female actors who are teenagers, getting them to descend as characters into this savage space?
It was challenging. It is. But it's also challenging in a positive way because it actually made me have to grow and learn how to communicate, with these younger actors and figure out, what's your language? How do I communicate with you what I want to pull out? And also letting them understand that this isn't going to be your Disney Junior type of show. This is going to get rather dark.
Martin, why don't you explain for our audience what the experience will be like to go to the Blue Room and see Lord of the Flies?
The first thing, they're going to sit down and they're going to be blown away by this beautiful set that was designed by Amber Miller that will start transporting you to this little island where these girls just suddenly end up. And you will see their transition from their first arrival to this island. They transform into like this native-like appearance, establishing and creating rules for their survival and also so that they don't just survive, but they thrive as well.
Now we're talking with the other of the two directors, Erica Ann Sorensen. What was it like shepherding this flock of young women to go through this rather intense journey of the story?
To be honest, it was much easier than it sounds. These girls came into the auditions and blew our minds. This is definitely their show. They have amazing acting abilities, and they're all pretty mature for their age. Half the time they would joke that I was the teenager and they were the adult. So shepherding them really wasn't a problem. They're all just really well-behaved, very mature, and very talented girls. We couldn't have asked for a better cast.
We have here Mia Carina, a member of the cast of Lord of the Flies at the Blue Room Theater. Mia, tell me about your character.
Jane is, the female version of Jack. This character is really headstrong and she's really confident, and her ego is just out the window, man. She is so self-confident that she tries to take over the chief position of the group of girls.
Would you say she comes from a high upper class level of society? Is that why she seems so entitled?
Oh, yes, that's exactly why. She's the prefect of the choir, and that's also why she takes a disliking towards Piggy, one of the heroines of the story. She doesn't like Piggy because Piggy wears a jersey instead of her school uniform.
Okay, so you're on this island. There's been a plane crash. All the adults are dead. You really don't have any adults to set the rules, but you want to set the rules right away to make sure it reflects the kind of privileged position you're used to being in. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. I kind of take position and I say, oh, I should be leader. I should be leader. I'll have all the right rules in place so this doesn't get unruly. She says we don't want to end up like savages, which is the irony of it, actually.
So how did you process this as an actor, where you're starting from a place of complete order, where you're at the top as far as you're concerned, and then things devolve? How did you get into that, descending into savagery?
With the development of the characters, decline into this, psychotic, more ambitiously crazy character, is she starts off and she wants to be the leader, but since no one votes for her, it kind of derails her. And so she does whatever she can to prove to Rose, who's the chief, that she is just as strong, if not stronger than her. So she goes hunting with her hunters, and that transforms into this crazy power struggle between her and Rose, because Jane is the leader of the hunters, but Rose is the leader of the whole pack itself. Really, Jane, the whole time, is trying to become the leader. And that's why she's so crazy about it.
Well, you become leader of this band of hunters. You and your whole group turn into a more savage, animalistic kind of thing, and you start killing pigs, and eventually, well, I won't give anything away, but there's more killing going on. So what's it like to become so base and animalistic in this part?
It's hard to let yourself scream and yell, fight people, and really become your primal self. It's so interesting to see yourself become this kind of person. And honestly, going back to my house and having to wash the blood off my face each night, it's a little scary to see yourself in this crazy role.
We have here Sam Lucas. She is one of the central characters in Lord of the Flies, the all-female version, which is now at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. What do you think about being in a play that makes you go to such a savage place by the end?
And there's nothing quite like this. It starts at a very calm and rested place, and it just gets more and more chaotic as the show goes on. At the beginning, you're doing a very different type of acting than at the end.
Tell me about who your character is at the beginning and what her progression is through the play.
I play Rose, who is formerly Ralph in the original book. When she arrives to the island, she's very optimistic. She's very professional. She knows how she wants things to get done. She's made the leader at first. She kind of takes charge as the natural born leader of the group. It's not even as if she's always avid to lead something. Jane becomes power hungry and she always wants to be in charge. But Rose, when she gets the chief, it seems as if she could care less about getting it. It's just now that she's put in this place and position of being in charge of everyone, she has to keep it up. She has to make sure everyone's in order. And if everything falls apart, it kind of seems as if it's on her.
Does Rose feel a moral responsibility to try to keep things together so people don't get hurt and all that kind of thing?
Definitely. About at Act 2, Scene 2, the groups kind of diverge, and there's the hunters and there's the more civilized group, which Rose leads. You can see her kind of still trying to keep them in line. And there's just at a point where she realizes, even though the hunters or Jane's group, it's just kind of lost. Like, she can try whatever she wants, but at this point, there's no going back for them.
Is it scary for you to be in this situation where things start in order, but then they devolve, and you know, you're dealing with visceral savagery from many of the other young women?
100%. I mean, it's very weird to see these people that I'm so used to being in a room with for such a long time and seeing all their personalities, and then seeing them transform on stage and just seeing a group of 11 to 16-year-olds all just covered in blood and scratched up and dirty. They're in a completely different state and completely different situation than I could ever imagine seeing them in. So it's always that, and it's always the fact that my character changes so much from being like, oh, should I actually try to join the hunters or should I not? Should I stay civilized or should I just try to make this what it is? While she does try to get things to go in order, in a way, she just becomes more and more like, how do I say it? Like, not herself. She becomes more picked apart, and she's just broken. That's really it.
Lord of the Flies. Now's your chance to find out what happens if a group of teenage girls is put on an island with no structure, no civilization. What happens when there are no restraints? Lord of the Flies, the all-female version, which is on stage at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. It plays 3 more performances tonight, and then tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, and then tomorrow night at 7:30.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you enjoy North State Arts coverage on this station, now's the time to call. When you make your pledge, tell us what you like. In just a moment, there'll be some people to tell you how to do that. And if you're listening to this program after the broadcast time, online at mynspr.org, you can make your pledge anytime on the site. And also, make your comments about what you like. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.